This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد. الله الصمد. لم يلد ولم يولد. ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Before I start inshallah تعالى, I just want to act upon the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, من لا يشكر الناس لا يشكر الله. Whoever doesn't thank the people, then this person won't be thankful to Allah عز وجل. So I just want to thank inshallah ta'ala the administration of the masjid, the people who took time out in organizing this event, this program. Some of the brothers have been very, very good to me since I came. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also said, مَنْ أَتَى إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوهُ. Whoever does something good to you, then try and do that good thing back. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا تُكَافِئُونَهُ فَادْعُوا لَهُ. And if you don't find anything to actually replace that which he's done for you, then make dua for this person. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless and also reward those people who have put a lot of effort into trying to make this event happen, those who are carrying it out, and those who are involved in any way. As for our topic today, brothers and sisters, and I think it's very, very important that we speak about this topic, pertaining fitan, trials and tribulations. As we are living in a time, brothers and sisters, as you can see, there's so much fitan taking place. The trials and the tribulations, the corruptions that we currently find in our society, especially here in the West, is very widespread. Forget about falling into bid'ah or falling into sins. People are being pulled away from their religion. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, and I mentioned this in the khutbah today as well, people that we knew, that used to come to our masajid, today they are doubting the presence of Allah Azza wa Jal. Forget about falling into bid'ah. Bid'ah without a shadow of a doubt is a serious thing, right? Falling into sins, zina, riba, all of these stuff, they're very, very serious things. But to be pulled away, or to be taken out of your religion, is much more greater and much more serious. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't forgive shirk if a person dies upon it, but He forgives everything else. And anything under shirk is a major sin that Allah Azza wa Jalla might forgive, even though the matter is not light. Brothers and sisters, let's now look at the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that it can be a reality check to all of us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يَقِلَّ الْعِلْمِ. From the signs of the hour is that knowledge is going to decrease. وَيَظْهَرَ الْجَهَلِ. Ignorance will also become very widespread. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَيَظْهَرُ الزِّنَا. Zina, fornication, what girlfriends and boyfriends do, that will become very widespread as well. He came in another narration, وَيُكْثَرُ الْحَرْجِ. وَيُكْثَرُ الْحَرْجِ. Killing will become so widespread as well. Now ask yourselves, brothers and sisters, the Prophet told us this is from the signs of the hour. If we look at the society today, and we look at some of the countries that are Muslim countries today, is this widespread or is it not widespread? Are we not getting closer to the hour that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَسَّعَةَ كَهَاتَيْنِ. And he put his two fingers together. I was sent and The distance between myself and also the hour, it's like the distance between the two fingers. Very, very close. وَمَا أَمْرُ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ أَوْهُ أَقْرَبُ. As Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, the matter of the hour is nothing but the blink of an eye, or even closer. Many signs are taking place in front of our eyes. They are warning signs to us, brothers and sisters. If it's not a sign or a warning to us, and we're not taking heed, we are not changing our ways, then billahi alaik, when do you expect that we are ever going to change? If these things that are happening in front of our eyes, it's not making us tick, as they say. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الرَّجُلْ فِي أَيْهِ شَيْءٍ أَكَلْ أَمِنْ حَلَالٍ وَمِنْ حَرَامٍ. There will come a time when a person, he won't care in that which he ate, whether it is halal or whether it is haram. When it comes to making money, not caring whether I am taking riba and I am waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very widespread today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ لَا يَدْرِ الْقَاتِلْ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قَتَلٍ وَلَا يَدْرِ الْمَخْتُولِ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قُتِلٍ. There will come a time when the one who is killing, he doesn't know why he's killed. And the person who has been killed, he doesn't know why he has been killed. Look at the Arab world today. Bombs get thrown at them, they don't know why. Why am I getting killed? What have I done wrong? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌ مِنْ. There doesn't come a time except that the time that comes after it is worse. Today, some of our sisters and even public figures, people in authority, they think it's okay for a sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide her, to come out on a Playboy magazine. I don't think I need to elaborate on what that means. Most of you are aware it's going viral on social media. A hijabi sister today finds it okay for her to come out in the Playboy magazine. I'm not saying this to put the sister down, but to make you aware, a couple of years ago, maybe tens of years ago, did you think it was possible for a woman to ever do this? Rather, if you look at the time frame from maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago, how the sister used to dress and how it is becoming now. Brothers and sisters, do not be surprised if tomorrow you see a sister wearing a miniskirt and she has a hijab on. It's not far off. I've seen with my own eyes recently some of the brothers, they posted a few pictures of how the sister, she used to dress maybe 20 years ago, then maybe 10 years ago, and what could be happening in 10 years' time. Maybe if you asked us 10 years ago, do you think that sister is going to be walking on the face of this earth in the manner that she is walking today, we would have said, no, no way. But it's happening today. There was a time, the time that we're in now, it's becoming more worse. I see with my own eyes, brothers and sisters, just a week ago, a sister, she's got hijab on, and her, yani you could see her skin on her arms. When that picture got put up on social media, brothers started emailing in, saying, wallahi, we have seen this in the universities. A woman, she's what? She's wearing a hijab, and at the same time, she's wearing a skirt with tights. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, هَلْ تَرَوْنَ مَا أَرَى. Do you see what I can see? فَإِنِّي لَأَرَى الْفِتَنَ تَخَعُ خِلَالَ بُيُوتِكُمْ كَرُطْعِ الْمَطَرِ. I see that the fitan is going to drop inside the homes, just like the raindrops. The fitan will enter into the homes. And things that weren't normal before, brothers and sisters, back in the day, is going to become normal today. And practicing your religion, brothers and sisters, will become very, very difficult. And I will mention, inshallah ta'ala, the reward for practicing your religion in these kind of times. When there's fitting on your right, fitting on your left, in front of you, behind you, and under you. You look to your left, you see women. That is such a fitna that will make it difficult for you to what? Lower your gaze. Makes you go, wow. On your right, in front of you, there's haram all over you. There's means and avenues for you to take to make easy money. And practicing your religion in these times, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ أَلْقَابِدُ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِدُ عَلَى الْجَمَعِ. There will come a time when holding on to your religion will be like what? Holding on to hot coal. Can you hold on to hot coal? Something that has been burnt, that's just come out of the fire, to hold on to it. You'll end up dropping it. It's very, very difficult. You can't. It'll burn you. That is how a person will become in his religion. Now that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guys, has told us all of this, does that mean now, brothers and sisters, okay, the Prophet told us 1400 years ago, I'm just going to submit myself. Everything khalas, it is bound to happen anyway. I'm going to be trialed, tribulations are going to hit me, and khalas, I just got to take it. And I just carry on with my life. Rather, the Sharia has clarified and made it clear for us how to protect ourselves from what? These fitna, these trials and tribulations. Na'am, it's a great, enormous thing. You'd rather be dead than actually be trialed in your religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say in the Quran? وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُ مِنَ الْقَتَلِ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتَلِ. You being trialed in your religion is worse than what being killed. It's more severe, it's more greater. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَإِنَّ فِتْنَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي دِينِهِ حَتَّى يُرَدَّ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ فَذَٰلِكَ أَكْبَرُ عِنَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. That a person is trialed in his religion till he is now pulled out of his religion to what? To al-kufr, to disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is more worse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than actually being killed. And you know, brothers and sisters, killing someone is not a small matter. Taking a knife or taking a gun and shooting or killing someone. There's another hadith that explains this, the enormity of this issue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَتْلِ مُؤْمِنٍ. That the whole dunya is perished or is removed. It is more lesser of a problem in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal than one believer being killed. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَهَدْمُ الْكَعْبَةِ حَجْرًا حَجْرًا. That the Kaaba is destroyed and that you remove the stones of the Kaaba one by one, it's more lighter than what? Spilling the blood of a believer. Billahi alayk, if you saw someone breaking the Kaaba, the Muslim's blood is going to boil. It's going to make him go ballistic. هَذَا بَيْتُ اللَّهِ. This is the place that symbolizes Al-Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to you, breaking the Kaaba and removing the Hajar one by one is more lighter than actually killing a person. So after knowing all of this, brothers and sisters, even though qatl, killing someone, is a fitna, it's a type of fitna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, for you to be trialed in your religion, brothers and sisters, is far greater than all of this. You know, brothers and sisters, when this fitna comes, it is not there to make you smile or to come and give you a present, you know, to wish you a happy great day. Rather, it comes to pull you out of what? That thing that will either determine whether you abide in the hellfire or you come out and you go into a Jannah. Mutarif ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir. If we ask who he is, he was a tremendous tabi'i. And it's important that we know these people, that we try to be like them. We try to be like who? The three golden generations. The Sahaba, the tabi'in, the tabi'i and tabi'in, also known as the Salaf. When we hear this, who do we intend by it? We mean the three golden generations. The Sahaba, the tabi'in, the tabi'i and tabi'in. Those who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of you is my generation. That those who came after them were the tabi'in, and those who came after them. We need to try and be like them when it comes to قَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا وَاعْتِقَادًا. Our statements, our actions, and our beliefs. To try and be like these three golden generations. Don't look at the specific groups that are here who might claim to be like a certain people. Rather take them as an example and try and imitate them. Are we going to dispute over the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'i Tabi'in, the best of those to ever walk upon the face of this earth? So Mutarif ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir, brothers and sisters, just a quick background inshaAllah ta'ala, he was someone who used to try to the best of his ability to stay away from the fitan. And he used to warn the people to stay away from the fitan. Also another attribute that he became known for, he was someone whose dua was mustajab. Like if he made dua, his dua would be accepted very quickly. He was a righteous man. One time what happened was, brothers and sisters, as Ghaylan ibn Jarir mentioned, أَنَّهُ كَانَ بَيْنَ مُطَرِّفْ وَبَيْنَ رَجُلٍ كَلَامٍ. There was an issue between Mutarif ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir and another man. There was an issue that broke out. And that man, he lied against this great tabi'i, Mutarif. Mutarif ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir, he made dua. Allahumma in kana makaliban famithu. Oh Allah, if this person is lying, then make him die. Fakharra fi makanihi. After he made his dua, you know what happened, brothers and sisters? He dropped dead in his place. One thing we learn from this, even though it's off topic, that if you oppress someone, you lie against him, and he makes dua against you, where did we get this from? The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he told Mu'adh, فَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Fear the invocation of the person who is oppressed. There's no barrier between him and Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's no screen. Yani, he makes dua against you, you oppress him, you lie against him, it could be the end of your life. So this man, brothers and sisters, he used to narrate from the Sahaba, Ka'ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman ibn Affan, Aisha, Ammar ibn Yasir, and other than him. He said, Al-fitnatu la taji'u tahdi an-nas. When the fitna comes, it doesn't come to guide you. ولكن تجيء تقارع المؤمن عن دينه. But this fitna, what does it do? تجيء, it comes and it pulls the person away from his religion. As quickly as the day comes and the night goes, brothers and sisters, that's how quickly a person can leave the fold of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this. It's not a long process. Within moments, I might be given a lecture, and then a few moments later I can what? Leave the fold of Islam. Because of fitna or a trial hitting me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ. Hasten to doing good deeds. فِتَنًا كَقِطْعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. You will find fitan, trials and tribulations that are like the dark patches of the night. What happens when you're walking in the dark patches of the night? 12 o'clock. In the middle of the park. Can you see anything? You need a torch, right? That's what the fitna does to a person. He throws him into darkness, he doesn't know which way he's going. It could be he's not able to differentiate between what is sunnah and what is bid'ah. Or it could be what is Islam and what is kufr. He can't. يُصْبِحُ الْإِنسَانُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A person, he wakes up in the morning, he's a believer. And in the night, 12 hours later, he goes to sleep as a disbeliever. وَيُمْسِ الْإِنسَانُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And maybe a person, he goes to sleep while a believer,
Then in the morning, after he wakes up, he prays in the morning while he is a disbeliever. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He sells his religion for an offer of this dunya. So brothers, as you can see, we're talking about maybe matters we have never ever thought about that ever crossed our minds. Have you ever thought about, okay, me, my name is Muhammad, I have an Islamic name. يَوْمًا مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ I could just leave the fold of Islam. And this happened through many means. One of them is your companions. One of them is your companions that you're hanging around with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدْ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every person that is brought into this world, every newly born baby, he is born upon the what? The natural way. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Either his parents, they turn him into a Jew, or a Nasrani, a Christian, or a Majusi. His parents are the closest companions, so they nurture him upon this religion, or upon this way. Today we were discussing, after we had lunch, what happened to this individual called Imran ibn Hattan. Does anyone here know Imran ibn Hattan? Abdul Rahman. Imran ibn Hattan was an individual who used to take a hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha. Great tabi'i he was. Over a woman, brothers and sisters. A woman. He fell in love with what? A khariji woman. A woman who has extreme views about the religion. You know, the type of that follows these sects like ISIS and, you know, these extremist sects. Khawarij. As they say, love is blind, right? You see a woman, your head goes. This man, he saw this woman and he wanted to get married to her. People were saying to him, no, she's going to end up affecting you in her religion. He was like, nah, I'm going to change her. He gets married, he becomes from the heads of the Khawarij. The heads of the Khawarij. The point is, brothers and sisters, sometimes the people around you, how they can pull you away from your religion. It could be the reason why, okay, today, you're upon khair, tomorrow you're upon evil. You know, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. We turned them into great imams, great scholars. And they used to guide through our guidance. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And they were people who had certainty with our verses. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a very powerful statement, and he said, وَبِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينِ تَنَالُ الْإِمَامَةَ فِي الدِّينِ. Through patience and through certainty, a person, what happens to him? He reaches imama, scholarship in the religion. He reaches a very, very high point in the religion. Why these few things, sabr and yaqeen? Firstly, al-sabr, brothers and sisters, what does he do? هُوَ يَحْمِي مِنَ الشَّهَوَاتِ وَهَوَ النَّفْسِ. When a person has patience, and he's patient about all these, you know, glamorous things in this dunya, and he's patient about it, it protects him from the desires, the shahawat, that are around him. And also the desire of the nafs. Because we know that the Jannah is surrounded by what the Prophet told us, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ فِي الْمَكَارِ. The Jannah has been surrounded, as it came another narration, shahwat, has been surrounded by what? Desires. Things that we want to do. We see a very nice, beautiful looking girl, we want her. Especially if you're like, you know, your teens and that. On a hot summer day, a person's roasting. He really wants to fall into haram. Really wants her. But he holds himself back. Patience. Then the second thing was what? Al-yaqeen. Certainty. وَهُوَ الْعِلْمِ. And this is knowledge. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَحْمِي مِنَ الشُّبَهَاتِ. And certainty, what does he do? It protects a person from the doubts that come his way. For an example, brothers and sisters, if an atheist comes up to me, or a Christian comes up to me, and tries to convince me that his religion is the correct religion. But I know how to tackle these arguments. Do you think he can go through me? And what is this thing that enabled me to be able to tackle these doubts that he has come with? Was it other than al-ilm? It was none other than ilm. The knowledge that I learned allowed me now to be able to protect myself when a person comes out tomorrow and he's doing innovation, or he's celebrating the Prophet ﷺ's birthday, or he's saying that it's okay to go to the grave and I can ask that person in the grave to give me X, Y, and Z. I'm able to inform him, قال الله قال الرسول قال الصحابة لا لتمويك بل علم نصبك لخلاف سبعة بين الرسول وبين رأي فقيه. Which is the knowledge. العلم is what the knowledge is. قال الله, Allah said, the messenger said, and the prophets and the sahabas, they said, I'm able to protect myself from these things. Likewise, these two things, brothers and sisters, are the main big issues out there. Whether it is the desires a person is troubled with, or the doubts that end up pulling a person away from his religion. Another example that I gave you, brothers and sisters, when I said, بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم. We gave an example of a person in the dark, right? He needs a torch to be able to see where he's going. He doesn't know where he's going. And likewise, the fitna is like this. Allah gives us another example in the Quran about a person who knows. And the parable that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives is, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. As for the one who was dead, not physically dead, he's been stuck into the grave. No, the guy who just was in darkness, brothers and sisters. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, we gave him life. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا. We gave this person a light. What is his light, brothers and sisters? He's walking around in the middle of the dark. It is the Quran, which is the knowledge. So the guy that doesn't have the knowledge, when the trials and tribulation comes, he doesn't know which way he's turning. He's like in the middle of a park, he doesn't know what he's doing. But the knowledge that he's learned, it is the nur that Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, the difference between the dead person and the one who has been given life. He has the Quran with him, which is the knowledge. He's able to differentiate between what is right and wrong. So you have to ask yourself, brothers and sisters, if I don't go out to at least learn the basics of my religion, when these trials and tribulations are coming, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تُعْرَضُ الْفِتْنُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ كَالْحَسِيرُ الْعُدَى الْعُدَى. The fitn will hit the heart. I don't know if you have seen these Arab, carpets. They're not carpets. If anyone can help out.
Rugs.
And the plastic is like this. Plastic, they're very, very close. Those who have gone to the Arab world will know what I'm talking about. Till now I found the name for it. Ala kullin, you can see that the plastic and the rubber, they're very close together. And the fitna, he hits the heart like this. And that's what the Prophet is telling us, that the fitna are exposed to the heart just like that. And what happens? Every time you get trialed and you fall into it, a black dot. And another dot, and another dot, until your heart becomes so black. لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا. A good thing comes to him, he doesn't realize it. Evil is around him, he doesn't disapprove of it. Do you want to be in a situation where so much evil is happening around you, and now because your heart is so dead, it has been trialed so much, so much fitna and corruption has hit it, you can't differentiate now. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, today you tell a person, Akhi, don't take riba. He looks at you like you're a madman. It has become such a vital part of our life, or we become so engrossed in it, that even some of the most major sins, you tell the family member, no, before marriage they shouldn't go out and date. They shouldn't go out together and be around each other because of the fitna A, B, and C. Because of the fitna that might come out of it, brothers and sisters, they're looking at you, brother, we're in the 21st century. Everybody's doing it. is normal now. That's the meaning of the hadith. Some of the most serious things of our religion that we should be staying away from, what happens, brothers and sisters? Today is becoming normal in our religion. That's when you realize that our hearts have become so dead, the evil that happens around us. So the two things that I mentioned, brothers and sisters, was what? Ilm, which is the yaqeen that was mentioned in the ayah. And the other one was what? Huh? Sabr, which is patience. Now I'm going to mention, inshallah ta'ala, three other main parts, or three main other main points, that when fitna occur, that we need to go out and do. And they kind of come under these two main points that I mentioned, that was mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Point number one, when it comes to some of the things to protect your things from yourself from the fitan, al-ruju' ila al-ulama, going back to the scholars. Which of the two is it linked to? The one that I mentioned.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. When we say scholars, that means he has to have knowledge, right? And that knowledge that we mentioned, it's a must with a scholar. As soon as fitan break out, brothers and sisters, it's upon us to go running back to the scholars. And not to take things in our own hands. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. And He defamed those who begin to take things into their own hands. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَدَاعُوا بِهِ. When something now pertaining public safety and public fear, what do? They start taking things into their own hands. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And if only they referred it back to the messenger and those who have authority over them. Let me give you a few examples now. I know there was people, when this whole ISIS issues broke out, they didn't take the things back to the scholars. What did they do? They went to Syria. They realized after, oh no, what we're doing is wrong. Did they protect themselves from the fitnah? They got themselves into more or greater problems. Look what happened in the Arab Spring. Brothers and sisters, when the Arab Spring took place, I was in Yemen at the time. I saw, before all these protesting that took place, how the country was before and after. The scholars, they were screaming from different parts of Yemen. I will speak on Yemen because I was there, and I'm originally from there. What were they saying? We need to topple over the ruler. We need to go against him. It's time for a change. Just like we have in the Western countries, 4 years, the guy changes, another 4 years, it's not right for the guy to be in charge for 30 years. All the scholars told them was قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. They opened up for them كِتَابُ الْإِمَارَ مِنْ صَحِيْهِ مُسْلِمٍ. What is the most authentic book after Kitab Allah? Question. Bukhari. The one that's most authentic after that?
Muslim.
Sahih Muslim. The Shaykh wasn't bringing out his own speech. All he was doing was bringing out the most authentic book, Ba'da Kitabillah. And the one after, which was Sahih Muslim. You go back to it, he has a whole chapter called Kitab al-Imara, the chapter of leadership. How they shouldn't be revolting, how they shouldn't be doing A, B, and C. They weren't listening. They were reciting to them the hadith of the Prophet. There's a hadith that says, there will come a time where you will have rulers. La yaqtaduna bihadi wa la yastanuna bisunnati. They won't take my guidance as a guidance, and they won't take my sunnah as a sunnah. قُلُوبُهُمْ كَقُلُوبِ الشَّيَاطِينَ فِي جِسْمَنِ الْإِنْسِ. Their hearts are like the hearts of the shaitan in the body of an ins, the body of a human being. So Hudhayfa asked, Ya Rasulullah, what shall we do? What shall we do, Ya Rasulullah? He said, وَإِنْ ضُرِبَ ضَهْرُكَ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكَ فَاسْمَعْ وَاطِعْ. If your back gets beaten, your money gets taken, listen and obey. Am I saying this? Is my Shaykh saying this? Or is the Prophet ﷺ saying this? The mashayikh were shouting this from different parts of the country. Guys, don't go out. Do not revolt. It will lead to a bigger problem. They thought they knew better. What did they do? They took things into their own hands. Our religion, brothers and sisters, is very, very easy. Some people started doubting the hadith, really? That shows you what, how far off the people have gone away from the fundamentals and the purity of our religion. Bukhari and Muslim. We're not talking about the hadith in Hakim or Abu Dawood, that's further away. Bukhari and Muslim are talking about. And that was the hadith that I started the lecture of. From the signs of the hour that knowledge is going to become what? Very less. Ignorance is going to become widespread. I remember I said this to a guy who was working inside a picture shop. And it was very dangerous at the time. I told him that, you know, and those who were sleeping on that road were guys who were revolting. And I'm saying to the guy, guy, you shouldn't come out. Hey, you know, the Prophet said this. I tell him the hadith. No. Walks away. Of course, I don't think that he meant to deny the hadith, but it's just something that they couldn't. The point is, brothers and sisters, they took things into their own hands. They wanted a change, and they got their change. But what was this change? The country became more worse. And now those who are running the country, you have those who curse the Sahaba. Those are the people who are running things at the moment. Wallahi, you ask the Yemenis now, do you prefer your country to be how it was before you got toppled over Abdullah Saleh, who was that ruler at the time? Or do you prefer it how it is now? Every person with intelligence, with intellect, will say to you, we prefer. And we're not trying to defend and say, no, they didn't have any issues. Allah says to us, وَلَا تُجَادِرْ عَنِ الَّذِينِ يَخْتَانُ الْأَنفُسُونَ. Do not defend those who oppress themselves. Yes, there was bribery taking place, there was ma'asi, there was transgression within the government. But we're talking about, do not exit. And the whole country just went upside down. And until this very day, they are suffering from it. What was that which they done? They didn't take the matters back to the scholars. They took things into their own hands. Now look at this speech of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. He said in Minhaj Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, وَالْفِتْنَةُ إِذَا وَقَعَتْ عَجِزَ الْعُقَلَاءُ فِيهَا عَنْ دَفْعِ السُّفَهَا. If the fitna breaks out, you know those guys with intellects, like the scholars, and those with intelligence, they will not have the ability to be able to stop the foolish ones. They won't be able to do so. فصار الأكابر رضي الله عنهم عاجزين عن إطفاء الفتنة وكفي أهلها. Then he begins to speak about the Sahaba. There was a time, brothers, amongst the Sahaba, a fitna broke out. When this fitna broke out and there was people amongst them who were undercover, they were trying to cause problems between the Sahaba. A fitna broke out. The biggest and the greatest of the companions, the kibar al-minhum, they weren't able to what? To extinguish the fitna that broke out, because khalas is already broken out. وَهَذَا شَأْنُ الْفِتَنِ. And this is the result of fitna that takes or breaks out. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. And fear that fitna, that when it hits, it won't just afflict those who are oppressive. It will take everybody. Everybody will be affected. This is why sometimes when we see things that are about to break out, we do something called Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. We enjoin the good and we forbid the evil. Then he says, وَإِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ لَمْ يَسْلَمْ مِنَ التَّلَوِّثِ بِهَا إِلَّا مَنْ عَصَمَهُ اللَّهُ. And if the fitna breaks out, nobody will be free from it, from its pollution, except the one Allah Azza wa Jal has what? Mercy upon. Or the one Allah Azza wa Jal protects. You have an old lady, a widow, an old man, people who did not take part or participate in the revolution. Today they have to pay double for the gas prices. Electricity is being cut. Today is on, tomorrow is off. Today is on. What did she do? Did she do anything? Did she participate in these fitna that took place? But now she has to suffer due to what other people done. Allah said, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Corruption has become apparent upon the earth because of what the people they've done with their own hands. Are you with me now, brothers and sisters? Sometimes when مِثَالِ يَطَضِحُ الْمَقَالِ, bringing an example, it makes clear that which has been mentioned. This is exactly what we experience in Yemen and other places. If only وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا. If only they done what Allah Azza told them to do, things would have been better for them. As Allah Azza told us. Of course we say قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَافَعَ. But we need to understand the roots of the problem and how it broke out, so it becomes a lesson for us in the future if we find ourselves in these situations. We go back to the عُقَلَى مِنَ الْعُلَمَى, those with intellect from the scholars. You have people like Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. The people belittled at the time, then they realized. They try to call them scholars for dollars. All they want is to what? Maybe get on the nice side of the ruler at the time. Then people realized, oh, I should have listened to Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. I should have listened to Sheikh Yahya when he was calling out in Al-Yemen. And the rest of the scholars were telling the people, stay in your homes. As we're going to see now, inshallah ta'ala, what the Sahaba, some of them, they done when fitna broke out. And you will see for yourselves which one was correct to do. The second point, brothers and sisters, is in order to protect yourselves from the fitna, al-ishtighalu bil-ibadat zahiran wa batinan. To busy yourselves with worship, with ibadat. Fitna breaks out, start worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ikhwani, he woke up. Istayqad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhat laylatin, one of the nights. He said, Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mada unzilu laylata min al-fitan. What has been sent down today from the fitan, the trials and tribulations? وَمَاذَا فُتِحَ مِنَ الْخَزَائِنِ. And what has been opened up from the khazain, the treasures, يعني the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, أَيْخِذُوا صَوَاحِبَاتِ الْحُجَرِ. Wake up. يعني the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is commanding for his other wives to be waken up, to be woken up. And the one that's narrating the hadith, Umm Salam, it was her night at the day, that night. He was with Umm Salam. So he commanded that the rest of his wives are what? Woken up. And then he said, فَرُبَّ كَاسِيَةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَالِيَةٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And perhaps, there are women who in this dunya, they are clothed, they are blessed with ni'am, bounties and blessings. But then, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, they'll deprive from it. Some of the benefits that we can take out from this, brothers and sisters, look. The Prophet woke up, مَاذَا أُنزِلَ لَيْلَةِ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ. He said, what has been sent down today from the fitan? Fitan came down. What did he do? He commanded for his wife to be woken up in order for them to do what? To start praying. To start doing ibadat. And he also wanted to teach them that they shouldn't get complacent just because they are close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To start worshipping, to start engaging in ibadat and salawat. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? If this is now the situation of some of the wives of the Prophet, he's telling them to wake up and pray. Where do we stand? He's telling them, trying to teach them, not to get complacent, but to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in time of fitna. So they woke up and they started praying. Na'am, fitan breaks out. Brothers and sisters, we close our ears and we go what? And we start praying to Allah Azza wa Jal. The other hadith that I mentioned, when he talked about the dark patches of the night, what was the first thing that was mentioned? Badiru bil a'mal. Hasten to doing good deeds. Fitan ka qita' al-layl al-mudhlim. How many people do you find, brothers and sisters? La yadhurru fitna. old men, you know, they're just engaging in their ibadat, laylan wa naharan, they are worshipping Allah, they are fasting, fitan comes, they don't get affected. Their head is totally somewhere else. Another example of this is, brothers and sisters, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talked about the Dajjal, he said, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَمْ لَبْثُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, how long will he stay upon the earth? He said, أَرْبَعُونَ يَوْمًا, he will stay upon the earth for 40 days. يَوْمٌ كَسَنَةٍ وَيَوْمٌ كَشَهْرٍ, a day will have, the first day will be like a year, the second day will be like a month, and the third day will be like a jum'ah, like a week, and the rest of the days will be like the normal days. You know, the first thing the Prophet, the companions, they asked, فَذَاكَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي كَسَنَةٍ أَتَكْفِينَ فِيهِ صَلَاةُ يَوْمٍ, the first thing they asked, brothers and sisters, Ya Rasulullah, that day that is like a year, do we only pray one prayer? Or do we like, one prayer, do we only pray one prayer that we would normally pray? They are thinking about their ibadat. The Dajjal is one of the greatest fitan, ya ikhwan, that a person will be afflicted with. One of the things that after, in our tahiyyat, what do we do? نَسْتَغِيْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fitna of al-Dajjal. And tomorrow inshaAllah ta'ala we'll talk a lot about it. The Dajjal, things related to him, they gave a lot of concern to the ibadat. Yes, brothers and sisters, it will be tough. It will get more tough than this. As I mentioned previously, holding on to your religion will be like what? Holding on to hot coal. Al-qabidu ala dinihi kal-qabidu ala al-jam. But look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to us. The immense reward that comes out of it. There's another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-ibadatu fil harji ka hijratin ilayya. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a time when people are being killed, when blood is being shed, it's like what? Making hijrah to me. And guys, do we know about the reward that a person attains when it comes to performing hijrah? Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever leaves his home, he's making hijrah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he dies, then his reward has become incumbent upon Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal has made it a something composed upon himself to reward that person. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And another ayah, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ قُتِلُوا أَوْ مَاتُوا لَيَرْزُقَنَّهُمُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا. Those who go and make hijrah and they die in that process, or they are killed, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, this person will be provided with great provision in the Akhirah. That's the reward of hijrah. And the Prophet is telling you, al-ibadatu fil harji hijratan ilayya. Doing ibad in a time when people are being killed. You find that the crime rate is going up. Fitan, left, right, center, up, down, everywhere. You go back to your home and you're worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're trying to hold on to your religion. It's like making hijrah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to constantly make dua, brothers and sisters. As it came in Sahih Muslim, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-nar, wa a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabri, wa a'udhu bika min al-fitan, ma zahra minha wa ma batan, wa a'udhu bika min fitan al-dajjal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the fitan that is apparent and that which is hidden. And you know the one that's hidden, brother, this is much worse. Sometimes you can see a fitna, sometimes you can't see it. And through it, a person is what? Pulled out of his religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these four things that we mentioned, brothers, as it came in another hadith, rawahu Imam Ahmad al-Hassan al-Albani, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتعوذ في تبر كل صلاة من هذه الأربع. He used to seek refuge in Allah Azza from these four things that were mentioned. Seeking refuge in Allah Azza from the Naar, the punishment in the grave, from the fitan, and also the Dajjal. You know when you go down for the tahiyyat, these four things he used to always do it in all his prayers to show you the greatness and the seriousness of this issue. When is the last time that we may have made dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla, oh Allah, keep me away from these trials and tribulations. And the third point, brothers and sisters, is i'tizal al-fitan. To completely disconnect yourself from the fitan that is around you. Now look at Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. What did he do at the time when a fitna broke out between some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He took his camel and just got off. He went and he started sitting or residing in a place where there was no one. فَجَاهُ إِبْنُهُ عُمَرُ. So his son Umar came to him. يعني this is the son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, not Umar ibn Khattab. فَلَمَّا رَآهُ سَعْدٌ قَالَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَرِّ هَذَا الرَّاكِبِ. From very far, he's seeing this what? This person on a riding camel coming to him. You know what he says? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَرِّ هَذَا الرَّاكِبِ. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he left everybody. He's gone. He's sitting by himself, trying to stay away from the fitan. He sees this riding camel coming to him, someone on top of it. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the evil of this person who's coming. And this is not, he doesn't know. فَنَزَلَ فَقَالَ لَهُ أَنَزَلْتَ فِي إِبَلِكَ وَغَنَمِكَ وَتَرَكْتَ النَّاسِ يَتَنَازَعُونَ الْمُلْكَ بَيْنْهُمْ. So his son says to his father, oh father, have you come now with your camel and also wherever you have your sheep? He took his camel and his sheep and he got off. He went just like, it's like leaving the city that where you're in and going to where the farms are now. You left the people and they are disputing amongst themselves about the mulk, leadership. So Sa'd, فَضَرَبَ سَعْدٌ فِي صَدْرِهِ. Sa'd came and he hit him in the chest. يعني the father hits the son in the chest. فَقَالْ أُسْوَدْ. He told him, what? Be quiet. سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولْ. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدَ التَّقِي الْغَنِي الْخَفِي. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves the servant who has taqwa, taqi. Al-ghani, the person who has richness when he comes to the iman, and al-khafi, the person who is hidden. If we were to now, brothers and sisters, speak about taqwa, what it means, we can maybe do a whole lecture on it. But in summarization, what does taqwa mean? أن يجعل العبد بينه وبين ما يخافه ويحذره وقاية تقيه منه. As Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned. Taqwa means, brothers and sisters, people tend to what? Translate it to be fear. When we hear taqwa, it means what? Fear, according to many. But that's only juz'un min ma'ani. It is only a small part of what taqwa means. Rather, taqwa means that a servant, he places between him and also that which he fears, a shield. That which he's scared of, a shield between him and what? The person he fears. When a person goes into the battlefield, what does he have as a shield, right? What does he fear? The enemy to throw an arrow at him. So between him and the enemy is a shield that he's protecting himself with it. And a Muslim, who does he fear? Huh? He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he places a barrier between him and Allah azza wa jal. Where is this barrier, brothers and sisters? فِعْلُ الطَّاعَاتِ وَاجْتِنَابُ الْمَنْهِيَاتِ. To do what Allah azza wa jal told you to do, and to stay away from the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla told you to stay away from. This is a taqwa. This is a taqwa. And through taqwa you will attain many great things in your life. How many times does Allah say in the Quran about the taqwa? When we do the khutbah, Ya ayyuhan nabiy taqillah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Ya ayyuhan nas taqu rabbakum. Time and time again Allah says, and with the reward is great as all. Allah says, wa man yattaqillaha yaj'al lahu makhraja. Whoever has taqwa, then Allah will give him an opening. Sometimes things are very hard. You have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easy for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ لَا يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ لَا يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. All of these on one page of Surah Al-Tahrim.
Talaq.
Al-Talaq, na'am. Jazakallah khair. Surah Talaq on the first page. These three ayah talking about taqwa, how Allah will make your life very easy. So my point here, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person who is taqi, someone who is excessively conscious of Allah azza wa jal, has taqwa with Allah azza wa jal. And the point that we derive from this, brothers and sisters, he got away from everyone. And there's another hadith that says, what? Inna sa'ida laman junniba al-fitan. Inna sa'ida laman junniba al-fitan. Inna sa'ida laman junniba. He repeated it three times. The happy one, brothers and sisters, is the one that stays away from the fitan. And he repeated it three times. وَلَمَنْ اُبْتُولِيَ فَصَبْرَ فَوَاهَ. But the one who is then trialed, he gets sucked into it for whatever reason, and he's patient about it, for him is an immense reward. Also again, مُطَرِّف ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir, the great tabi'i that we mentioned, he said, لَبِثْتُ فِي فِتْنَةِ ابْنِ زُبَيْرِ تِسْعًا أَوْ سَبْعًا مَا أُخْبِرْتُ فِيهَا بِخَبَرٍ وَلَسْتَخْبَرْتُ فِيهَا عَنْ خَبَرٍ. I remained in the fitna that happened with Abdullah ibn Zubayr. That's another fitna, brother and sister, that took place between him and Hajjaj, Yusuf and Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, the tyrant at a time. 9 or 7 years. Yani Mutarib ibn Abdullah is saying this. I remained in it 9 or 7 years. I was never told about anything that was going on, and I never inquired about what is going on. He just kept himself to himself. He basically cut off from it, he went his own way, and then worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. And he became known for this. Warning the people, staying away from the fitan. So brothers and sisters, someone might ask the question now, okay, we have automatically been sucked in into fitan. We are living in a time where the Muslim Ummah is suffering, and we all have been trialed. Why is the Muslim Ummah suffering, and how can we get out of this problem? Brothers and sisters, the matter is very, very clear. You know, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a very powerful statement in Majmu' al-Fatawa, in which he said, just crossed my mind. Are you going to stop it? He mentioned in Majmu' al-Fatawa, brothers and sisters, when it comes to you having everything that you need inside the Quran. Na'am, I remember it now. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا يُغَذِّيَ الْعَقْلَ وَالْرُوحَ. I haven't seen something that feeds the mind and also feeds the soul. وَيَحْفَظُ الْجِسْمَ. And it also what? Preserves and looks after the body. وَيَضْمَنُ السَّعَادَ. And it also what guarantees happiness. أَكْثَرُ مِنْ إِدَامَةِ النَّظْرِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. More than constantly looking in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what will save a person. The point is, when we look now in the Quran, we don't need to look any further. Any problem that we have, brothers and sisters, people have tried many ways. Sometimes a problem occurs, they go out and protest. Petitions are taken out. Okay, it might make your situation a bit better in a temporary basis, but permanently, Allah Azza wa Jalla told us in the Quran. So by us now looking in the Quran, brothers and sisters, we find the answer for all our problems. Between the husband and the wife, sometimes a problem occurs, right? One of the main problems that we hear all the time, that I receive emails and messages about, husband and wife problems. It's in the Quran. Let me ask you a question now. When normally a divorce takes place between the husband and the wife, what normally happens? He's given her a talaq. Do they hang around together? What happens? Everybody goes their own ways. Either kicks the woman out or she leaves. Goes back to her mom's house. The mom calls, get out and come back home. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to do that? Rather in Surah Al-Talaq, and I don't want to go much into it, Allah says, لَا تُخْرِجُونَ مِنْ بِيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إِلَّا يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَتِلْكَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ لَا تَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. Don't kick them out and she shouldn't leave. Why? So if they stay together, something will happen. Allah will make something happen between them. Do not violate against the limits of Allah. And most people who do not act upon this, they go both their ways and there's more problems in their lives. You're the one that transgresses against the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. When Allah told you to do A, B and C, you didn't do it. Rather, maybe if you'd done it, happiness could have come out of it. And I've seen this happen to people. People who, he hates the other half. Can't stand her. But they remain together and they end up having what? And many other things. Allah said, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحٍ مِنْ ذَكْرًا أُنْتَ وَمُؤْمِنُ فَلَنُحْيَنَّ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. The happy life that we all want. If you look in the Quran, Allah tells you, if a person believes and he does good deeds. So going back to the point, now when we look in the Quran and the Sunnah, brothers and sisters, of the Muslim Ummah now, what the solution is? People have tried every single way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in one hadith. And now you ask yourselves, is this a Ummah that we have currently? Are they involved in it or are they not involved in it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُ بِالْعِيمَ. Once you start engaging in riba, you know riba? Ayna is a type of riba. Usury, interest and things like this. وَأَخَذْتُمْ بِأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّمْرِ. And you start chasing the tails of the cows. And you become satisfied with the land that you have. And you're chasing the dunya. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ. And you leave up with jihad. And before Channel 4 breaks this out and thinks that I'm trying to tell people to go ISIS, no we're not. Rather there are different types of jihad. And it's part of our religion. But that which is taking place has nothing to do with our religion. Or the CNN, they're even worse than Channel 4. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sallallahu alaykum ذُلْنَ لَا يَنْزِعُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla will send down upon you what? A humiliation. He won't remove this humiliation from you until what? You come back to your religion. Did Allah subhanahu wa tell us to go and change the ruler or did He tell us to work on ourselves? Us to establish Sharia in our own homes. To start up with our own selves. To teach our kids, to make them practice the sunnah. And if we look closely at this hadith, brothers and sisters, the Prophet said, what? Once you start dealing with riba. Once you start dealing with riba. What is worse than riba that is so common today? Bid'ah and shirk. Innovation is so widespread. People are disputing and trying to argue. And it's saying that it's okay for you to go to the grave and ask that person to give you X, Y, and Z. This is far greater than zina, having a girlfriend. And also being involved in riba and all sorts. Waging war with Allah Azza wa Jal. So if the Prophet told us about something that is more or less, imagine now that we have so much. And then people, they come and they say to me, why do you always just speak about shirk and tawheed and sunnah? Or they tell the scholars. When it is so widespread. And I always say this to the people, I seen with my own eyes. Around the Kaaba. I'm not talking about your own house. Around Baytullah. Al-Ka'batu. In Mecca, to Al-Mukarramah, people going around saying, Ya Ali, save me from the fire. So if this is now, Billahi Alaik, taking place around the Kaaba, the most sacred place on the face of this earth, then someone's going to tell me, don't warn against shirk and stop speaking about sunnah. You always speak about it, let's speak about other topics. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jalla will change the state of the ummah until they what? They come back to themselves, to their own selves, and they rectify their own selves. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the state of the people until they change themselves. So sometimes when a person is being oppressed somewhere else, we should ask ourselves, maybe he's being oppressed because of our own sins. That's why we as a community, we as fathers, mothers, uncles, we need to start with our own selves. Try and change that. And then the enemy will not be able to harm us. What does Allah say? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّخُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. If you have sabr and you have taqwa, we've already explained what taqwa means. To rectify yourself, right? To place between you and Allah Azza wa Jalla two things. To do what Allah told you to do and to stay away from what Allah told you to stay away from. Their plotting and their planning will not harm you at all. If you look at this now, brothers and sisters, you're patient and you have taqwa, their plotting will not harm you at all. Allah could have said, go out and do things. But He said, be patient and have taqwa and their plotting will not harm you at all. It came in another hadith, explaining the hadith that I just mentioned. Until the people, they go back to what? The early affairs. That's when the fitna will be removed from them. How the Sahaba was, until you reach a stage where, okay, this action now I'm doing, did Abu Bakr and Umar, did any of the Tabi'een, Tabi'ul Tabi'een, do it in such a way. And that is our religion. Today we have so much different, but if only the people, they said, okay, this action that we're doing now, did the Sahaba, Ridwanullah, I'll do it like this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard, to make this a lecture where, you know, we don't just put through one ear and take out the other. Rather, that we act upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the masjid again for organizing this very important topic. And inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we'll speak more about some of the signs of the hour. Things like the Dajjal, the Mahdi, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. These are the kind of topics that people tend to like. Signs of the hour and things like that. But we'll try to give some relevance to it, inshallah ta'ala. Where's Sheikh Sahib going? Khalas? Is there anyone that didn't understand some of the points that I mentioned? Wants me to elaborate on it? No.
Did you say that?
You look very familiar. You're not from Scotland, right?
No.
Huh? Okay.
I think you said that if a husband divorces his wife, does she stay in his house or she leaves?
No, ma'am. The sunnah is, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do, لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن ولا يخرجن. Don't kick her out and she shouldn't leave. Why? تلك حدود الله. وما يتعدى حدود الله فقد ظلم نفسه لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك مرة. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla will make something happen between them. You know, Imam Shinkhiti rahimahullah ta'ala, he says something between this ayah. You know when two people are together, the first thing they upset with each other, right? Everyone's angry, everyone's frowning, and you know, giving each other dirty looks. The second day, it gets a bit better. Third day, there's a smile here and there. The fourth day, do you want me to give you tea? You know? And on the fifth day, they've missed each other and they're back together. Read between the lines. You know? The point is, that's what yani could actually happen when being together. But sometimes you find when as soon as they get far apart, what happens? mother-in-law starts speaking, the mom starts speaking, he's like this, he's like this, he's A, B, C, doesn't end. MashaAllah, yesterday he was like being described to be like a prophet. And today he's worse than the shaitan and the iblis. Very common, and I see this all the time. So the shaitan does, wants you to be far away. Point is, being close together, Allah told you to be close together. In Scotland, they don't have student loans ahead. It's free, right? So you're in a country though where it's not relevant.
Yeah, you're right, but I'm not from Scotland.
Okay, you sound Scottish though.
Well, I sound Scottish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll greatly appreciate you asking.
Akhi, to be honest with you, and you're probably aware there's been a lot of controversy online in regards to student loans. I don't know how much you know about it. Yani, if you go onto my YouTube channel, you will find that one time we went to Kuwait to ask this question.
Okay.
One of the questions that we asked a person who is very well grounded in this issue. Now, but I personally feel, brothers and sisters, there's always a way out. Look at our brother Abdurrahman and our brothers from Leicester here. They're not from this place. Naam? Allah Azza wa Jalla found them a way to study university. A lot of people could do the same. But sometimes they want to tell themselves they can't. I remember, brothers and sisters, I wanted to go to university as well. And we spoke about taqwa, right? And the ayah that I mentioned, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will always give him an opening. If you tell yourself, I don't want to fall into that sin, I don't want to fall into that riba, I don't want to fall into that which Allah Azza wa Jalla prohibited, na'am, He will always find your way. I told myself, no, I got accepted in 4 universities. I think it was Derby, Coventry, another one I can't remember, and it was Loughborough. No, it was 3. And I was trying very hard to get into a university called Loughborough. Loughborough was going to take a lot of my tuition fee off and things like that. And I said to myself, I am not going. If I don't get in, I'm not going. I made dua. I tried to be as much faithful as, you know, as possible. I emailed them. They rejected me. I emailed them again. They rejected me. Third thing, they were like, stop emailing us. They had to send an email like, can you just like relax a bit, you know? And I carried on bombarding them a fourth time. Then in the end, I just left it. Long story cut short. With dua, the Prophet ﷺ told us what? لا يرد القدر إلا الدعاء. The only thing that might change the qadr is what? The dua. And I carried on. I get an email one day before the UCAS. Okay, we've accepted you. SubhanAllah, there's some universities which will, you know, cut your tuition fee. I remember, if anything, I came out with money in my pocket. Also because when you're married, you get an extra grant as well. I'm not telling you to do marriage scams or anything like that. Just to get married in order to get £6,000. Normally everyone gets 3. But they give you 6,000 if you're married. You know, and they cut off another 6 for whatever reason. And they give you some money as well. So the point is, brothers and sisters, there's always a way. You make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you have taqwa. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدْعَ شَيْنِ اتِّقَاءَنِ إِلَّا إِلَّا أَحْتَقُمَ خَيْرًا مِنْ. You don't leave something due to taqwa, except what? Allah Azza wa Jal will always replace it with that which is better. So there's always a way. You try to be faithful, you make dua.
That was it. I don't think.